I just a little testimony here is that I've been on a real transformation of growth because I would classify myself as a spiritual mutt. You name a church, I've been there. My mother used to send me there. And so I came with a lot of traditions. So when the Holy Spirit has really hit me, there's just a lot of changes and transformation. I think the first thing I would say is, you know, that any time the Lord is showing up, it's so much fun to be in His presence. It's flat out fun. Did we have fun that night? There wasn't a sad tear. And the more, and I'm also one that believes that what the Bible says is true. You know, unlike some churches that would say that, well, not for today. Well, I'm sorry, it is for today. The truth is that my prayer every day is this, that this be a church of power. And some of us have been probably digesting Bill Johnson CDs from the time that we were exposed to him. And it's either a church or it's not a church of power. And, you know, I keep thinking back. Jesus healed everybody who came to him. So don't run away from him.
So tonight at 7, from 7 to 11, we're going to be airing what's going on down in Lakeland live here. And everyone is welcome to come. Bring your friends, whoever you can get here. Just come and share in it. There'll be time of worship. There'll usually be like a time of teaching. And then things break out, and it is really, really powerful. So please come and be with us. All right. Katie's going to come up now and make some announcements.
So Jay came to me before the service and asked would I mind if he took a few minutes to do some testimonies before we started today. And I'm, yeah, whatever the Lord wants to do. I'm in it. I'm with you. I'm flexible. And it has always been my experience that the testimony is a living word that goes into a heart and encourages others to go forward and get whatever it is God is doing for somebody else, He will do for you. And we want to always be open to that in this congregation. What you guys were talking about this morning it goes so well with what the Lord gave me to share with you today. I'm going to start with a pop quiz. Because somebody gave this to me this week, and it really struck me as one of those things that we need to stop and think about from time to time. And so I'm going to ask a question, and if you know the answer, just raise your hand. I probably won't come and ask you, so you can tell me the answer, but I just want to know if you know the answer. So the first question is, can anyone here name the 5 wealthiest people in the world today? 2? You know, surprisingly, she's not. So we can name 2, but we can't name 5. Is that a consensus? All right. Can anyone here name the leaders of the top 5 most powerful countries in the world? I heard an ah. Are you going to answer? President Bush is one of them. Nobody got their hand up? Okay. Can you name the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners?
No.
Anybody? No. How about the last 5 Miss Universes? Nobody? Okay, all right. Can you name anyone who's won a Nobel or a Pulitzer Prize? 1?
Gore.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Gore. Now, what's interesting about that quiz is that it reminds us that these are people who are the top people in their field. These are the people that are in the news, that are on the internet. These are people that are the movers and shakers of our country and our world. And we can't name them. Do you have any reason? I mean, do you know why that is? They don't have anything to do with our lives. Is that correct? Okay, now, if I were to ask you, Beth, to name a teacher that was a valuable part of your school life, somebody who inspired you along the way, can you name somebody? Pick one, anyone.
Miss Wiggins.
Helped her get through school. Liz, can you name somebody who's helped you through a really tough time in this last year? Michelle Nickish had an impact on your life. Jay, can you name somebody who's taught you something really valuable that's made a difference in your life?
Pastor Lynn.
Life skills, spiritual skills. When I was a little girl, growing up, one of the questions that would present itself to me from time to time was, what am I going to be? Because deep inside the human soul, there is a yearning to make a difference. We want to make a difference. And when we're young, that comes out in an expression of, I want to be a fireman because firemen save lives. I want to be a doctor because doctors save lives. I want to do something great and powerful and wonderful so people will know my name and I will make a difference in the world. But the point of that quiz is, our world is made of the people around us and the people that we touch and that touch our lives. And those are the people whose lives we can change. Those are the people whose lives we can make a difference in. And we overlook that from time to time. We overlook how important the small things are in the long scheme of things. And I want to bring us back to that place today because this is what discipleship is all about. Now, Pastor Lanny in the second service has been, since January, taking us on a journey of spiritual transformational change. And specifically, he's been talking to us about being mentors, being coaches, being disciples, what that means in the body of Christ, how that touches the lives around us and influences the lives around us. And because we've been pursuing that, in that service, and I know you guys have been also pursuing it in this service, I want to take just a few minutes to go back to the basics and actually look at what being a disciple is, because disciple is one of those religious words. When you think disciple, immediately you put it in the context of being something religious. And it's not really supposed to be that isolated with such boundaries around it. Because in the original Greek language, it was matheites, and it meant to be a learner or a pupil or one who understands. So basically, you have a person who is being tutored or mentored or coached. And now, if you want to put it in a historical context, in that time, there was many, many, many religions and many, many leaders in those religions, and they all had their disciples. And basically, those disciples went wherever they went. They ate whatever their leader ate. They traveled with him. They talked with him. They met with him. They got the behind-the-scenes scoop with him. And it was, in fact, a life choice. It wasn't intellectual. It was a life-defining choice that they would be a disciple of this particular religious leader. And one of the things that made Jesus so different and peculiar was that in his day, his disciples had one defining quality that nobody else had. If you were to go out there and look at all the other religious leaders and their disciples, they lacked this quality. Does anybody have their Bible with them? Beth, would you stand up and read John 13:34-35? If you just turn around, they'll be able to hear you, I think.
John 13:34-35.
You guys already knew that, but he says it was the defining quality of the followers of Christ that they loved one another in such a way that it looked completely different to everyone else who was watching. They could see a man walking through his daily life, doing his daily chores, doing his daily relationship stuff, and he was peculiar in the way he loved. And when we talk about discipleship, I feel like not only do we throw that religious context on it, but we get it out of order. And in discipleship, first things need to come first. In coaching and mentoring, as a Christian, we get them out of order. And the first order is love one another in a supernatural way, because this is the evidence to people looking at your life that you are different and there is a supernatural element to your life. So if you want to know about love, where do you begin? Jesus? He definitely gives us the defining parameters of what that kind of love looks like. He taught his disciples to serve. He taught his disciples not to be self-centered and selfish, not to be the center of their own universe, but to put others first. He was very careful to show by example how to treat people, how to go the second mile, how to give out of their lives, out of their abundance, to give the coat if you have two. He was very careful in the way that he taught. He taught that in the beginning, God loved me. I didn't love him first, he loved me first. And every disciple of Christ begins by responding to that love. Everyone comes to God in response to that love. When we were worshiping this morning and when Jay extended our time of worship, it reminded me of the experience that I have over and over and over again. And that is when I get into his presence, I experience something unlike anything else, anywhere else in my life. He makes me feel something different. And every time, it's a different aspect, depending on where I am in my life, depending on the need in my life, depending on the crisis or the joy of my life. But he makes me feel clean, washed, whole. He completes me. When I come and I'm in a crisis, he makes me feel encouraged. He makes me feel hope. He's like food. And you can almost feel it when you're expressing words of description, and we did that this morning, of who he is, his holiness, his royalty, his ability to reign and rule. Something in us vibrates and says, that is true. I see this and it's true. I know this and it's true. And it makes me feel his love in such a way that it oozes out of me and falls on you. Because sometimes when I walk in here, I'm not feeling particularly loving. Maybe it was a stressful morning. Maybe the car didn't start right. Maybe the person in front of me was going so slow I wanted to chew on my steering wheel. But when I get in the presence of the Lord, something happens inside of me like a tuning fork. And I get on his wavelength and a supernatural thing happens inside of me and his love comes out and I suddenly realize, you're pretty neat. I see Jesus in you. And I just want to hug you. I don't really know you very well, but hey, I want to hug you. I want you to know that you have value and you have worth. I want you to know that the Lord is working in your life and he wants to do things. And then you take that one step further into practical discipleship, And what that means is I let that love transform who I am on the inside, and then I let it leak out on you. And that relationship that happens between Katie and me then has a different level to it, a different facet to it. I can begin to learn from you, and you can learn from me. And we have this thing going. And boy, I want to remind you, it's not always about discipling somebody else or coaching somebody else or mentoring somebody else. No matter who I'm with, I don't care if you're one day old in the Lord or have got 45 years in the Lord. I want to learn from you. Because whatever it is the Lord is doing in you, it's fresh, it's new, it's alive, and I can get part of it. I want you to mentor me. I want you to coach me. I want you to disciple me. And in the same breath, I want to give what I have. Mentoring and coaching and discipleship is a really interesting dynamic. It's almost a transfer of DNA. And we've heard Pastor Lanny talk about DNA, the DNA of Prag, the DNA of our worship, our prophetic ministries, our healing ministries. We have something in us, me, Brian, Katrina, Jay, Katie, that is peculiarly me. I'm flavored by God, and it's me. And there's only one of me and him in the whole universe. And the way I see life and the way he works through me is peculiar to me alone. And what you do comes out special. Your flavor, Mackenzie. It's like the relationship between a mother and a child. And she's feeding the child milk that's produced in her own body. There is something that's transferred in that that's living. Vitamins and minerals and amino acids and building blocks of an immune system are passed on in such a way that that baby takes with it building blocks for its future. And it's written upon the biology of the child. In the same way, we do that spiritually. And what I want to do today is more than anything, just open your eyes to it and let you see it. Maria, when you go and visit those people that the Lord have pointed out to you and you sit with them and you talk with them and you bless them, you are transferring something wonderfully alive, hope and encouragement. And it is a transfer of who you are into them. Every one of us have people in our lives that the Lord has given us. Every one of us can make an eternal difference in that life. I've said before, I'm through doing things that are a waste of time. I'm through doing things that are just pouring effort, stress, and strain into a black hole that has no return. I look for those people and things that the Lord says, that one, Marilyn, that one, Marilyn, that one, Marilyn. And I want to give them myself in such a way that it makes an eternal difference in somebody's life. And that's not big stuff always. I have a relationship in my life. Well, I've had it going on for years and years and years and years. Someone who I felt the Lord pointed out to me years ago, they weren't interested. They just weren't interested. And the Lord said, be faithful, be faithful. And so at every opportunity, I got together with them. At every opportunity, I spoke into their life. At every opportunity, I was just there. I did that actively. 5 years? 5 years. No return. In fact, what I got in return was very difficult. And I had to say, it's not about you, Marilyn. It's not about you. It's all about them. Keep doing it. Be faithful. Keep giving. And I kept giving and I kept giving. And this last year, I saw the return. Oh, my gosh. Wonderful. And then I found out that all those things I'd been giving in those 5 years where I saw no return had taken root. They had been heard. They had been received. They had been seeds. And then one day, we can do little things every day in the lives of the people that the Lord has put in our lives. Diligently, faithfully, practically. And wait for him to water it, and wait for him to fertilize it, and wait for him to make it into something that makes an eternal difference in their life. A while ago, we passed out some slips in the bulletins. I can't remember if they were in the first service bulletins or not, but it was a little slip that said, "Are you willing to coach, mentor, or disciple someone else?" So you guys had an opportunity to fill those out. This is a wonderful opportunity to practice on a small scale and see on a small scale this living transfer of who you are into the life of somebody else and receive their transfer to you. Molly took all of those slips of paper and consolidated them into a notebook. And we're going to put it in the back of the church, or I guess on the stair rail in the lobby. These are people who said they were willing to help with the inner man. And then they gave specific areas that they thought they could help with. People who have an anointing health-wise, exercise-wise, and want to give it themselves. People who have an anointing to do the practical stuff, the how-to stuff. Kitchen stuff. Help with the arts. Sports. Sports are a powerful, powerful element in the lives of our young men. There are more things learned in the transfer of the practicality of sports than probably in just about anything else that happens in a young man's life. Powerful. You know, to this day, I hear the three Clark boys talk about Hilton Garcia and what he did in their lives and who he was because he gave of himself in that area. He was there for them. Those who academic help, oh my goodness, there are seasons when that means everything. And then we have et cetera, things that didn't fall into a category. What this represents is people who are willing and looking for an opportunity to step into areas of coaching, mentoring, and discipleship where maybe they've never done that before. And I want to encourage you guys to participate in some way. And just turn your focus that little bit that changes it from just a thing you're doing to a life-giving, eternal difference in somebody else's life. And see what the Lord stirs up. Let that love that he's got on deposit in you bubble over into love for them in practical and in spiritual ways. Discipleship has both a cost and a reward. It costs us everything. Seriously. I say that because we all start out as selfish, self-centered, I am the middle center of the universe creatures. Every one of us. And to this day, I constantly have to remind myself, Marilyn, you are not the center of the universe. This is not about you. This is about them. It's about what the Lord is doing through you for others. Discipleship costs us that position of number one. It costs us control of our own time, our own schedules. It demands that we be flexible with our free time. It demands that we be giving and serving. But the rewards are beyond anything. Because I can right now today look back at people and circumstances and I can see where from that day I made a difference. And they don't even all recognize it, but I know it because the Holy Spirit said, you did it, you made a difference. That was what you were supposed to do. That was the time you were supposed to do it. That was how you were supposed to do it. And that's what our goal is when we disciple. That we would love one another in such a way that the world would look and see and say, that's different, that's supernatural. That is absolute proof that there is a God and there is something bigger than me that can make a difference in my life. If you guys would, let's just bow our heads and pray and welcome the Lord. Not welcome you. I feel you here the whole time, Lord. I'm so grateful for your presence, so grateful for who you are, what you are, and how you go about doing your kingdom work in our lives. We have a desire to keep growing. We have a desire to keep maturing. We have a desire to keep learning and to find ourselves living Christ-transformed lives. So, Lord, we ask you to help us commit ourselves to a life of relational discipleship with one another. And we welcome you, Lord, to work anything in us today that you want to work in us. We welcome you to continue that wonderful presence that you have among us right now. We welcome you, Lord, to do that thing you do so well in each one of us today. And it's your name that we pray at Jesus. Amen. Katrina, would you like to come? I'll do it. Sit back down. Jay, Brian, if you guys would come up. We're going to go ahead and give the Lord an opportunity to move. You guys can rise if you want. Let's stand. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart and want to pray with someone today, Brian, Jay, and Brian, and Katrina are going to be up front. Katie, who else is your prayer team? Spence. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, addressing a particular issue, come forward. Let someone pray with you, agree with you, and let's see what the Lord does this week. Those of you who are sick, I understand we have some anointing for healing in this house. If you got aches and pains, we want you to come forward and get prayed for here. If you have not ever received the Lord as your Savior, come up. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you are looking for that next level of power, come up. And if you feel that the Lord and you are good to go, please go down to the reception downstairs and fellowship one with another and let that love spill out all over one another. You're released.